Welcome to Soul in the City, honest conversations that activate, awaken, and inspire. I'm your host, Catherine Gillies, life and success coach, conscious consultant, and soul purpose guide. I'm really excited that you're here with me. Welcome. Hey loves, happy Gemini season. We're right at the end of Gemini season and the podcast is only coming out right now. But as I'm sure you're feeling as well, we've been through a lot this month, you know, we've been through a lot this year. The energies are so full on. I just did an Instagram post at my personal Instagram, Catherine_Gillies, where I listed all of the aspects of June. And it's a wild month and it's all leading up to the solar eclipse in Cancer on June 21. But so we've really watched the world take a turn inward. We've watched the world move into a deep introspection. So later this month, there's going to be six planets retrograde, which is wild. And, you know, it does need to be said, Black Lives Matter. And our inherent white supremacy and the systemic racism we've seen take center stage across the planet, it's right on time and it's exactly where it needs to be. And although America has been front of mind on the global stage, these injustices are occurring everywhere and under our very feet, and they are perpetuated by us. So even those of us who don't identify as racist, you know, I mentioned in a video a few months back about the consciousness of war and just how intergenerational trauma from war is in our blood and in our genetics, so too is our intergenerational racism. So the trauma will only begin to heal once we, as white people, accept the injustices of our ancestors and begin the journey of unlearning all that we have been taught and conditioned to believe. So I'm going to put a link to some anti-racist resources to begin the lifelong journey of unlearning. I read a really beautiful little bit about sacred activism by a man called Andrew Harvey, and I just want to read it out to you. It says, "The only way forward is a way inspired at the deepest possible level by sacred practice and sacred inspiration, a mysticism that floats off into the transcendent and abandons the world and its agony is just a higher form of narcissism. An activism that isn't grounded in spirit will burn out, especially in the excruciating circumstances that we find ourselves in now, and which will get worse. When, however, the deepest and most grounded spiritual vision is married to a practical and pragmatic drive to transform all existing political, economic, and social institutions, a holy force, the power of wisdom and love in action, is born. This force I define as sacred activism." And I really just love that quote because we can learn everyone's doing their own little part in their own little way, but the only way we're going to move forward correctly is to take active steps individually that are grounded in our own truth and the truths that we need to unlearn in order to create a better future for everybody. Now, guys, I have some exciting announcements, really just one. You may have heard me speak about my new online course, Moon Muse. So it's now open for enrollment until midnight, June 20th. So, you know, it's a deep immersion to learn and live by the natural lunar cycles. So it's an online course, but I'll be running it live over 30 days as we live the Cancer season moon cycle in real time together. So you're really going to get an understanding of the eight moon phases and how to harness their energies in your everyday life. You'll be able to learn to nurture your own emotional needs and desires based on your unique moon sign. You'll be living life in alignment with the 12 zodiacal energies as the moon passes through each part of the sky, stepping into lunar receptivity, honoring your innate divine feminine and aligning with nature's rhythms and learning about the energies of the days of the week and as they pertain to the moon cycle. So we'll be really cultivating more flow synchronicity and magic in your daily life, and it's going to be epic. So we kick off on this Sunday, June 21st, with the solar eclipse in Cancer. We're having a ceremony for that. And there'll also be a live ceremony for the lunar eclipse in Capricorn on 5th of July. So it's going to be an online portal. You'll get drip fed the videos as we live it in real time. Plus there's a private Instagram account just open for the lunar cycle, where I'll be in there with daily astro weather and tips and tricks for you on the daily, and you have direct access to me there to ask any questions. So I'm really, really excited. It's a major day on Sunday. We've got the solar eclipse in Cancer. We have the solstice, and it's the beginning of Cancer season, ruled by the moon. It's all meant to be. And you know, the price is $222, or two payments of $111 Australian. So the price of the whole 4-week course is less than a 90-minute session with me, and you're getting so much value for it. So, you know, we are cyclic beings, and everything you learn in this course can be applied every single month forever. So I'm really looking forward to walking the lunar path with you, and the link will be below where you can check it out, and I hope to see you inside. Alrighty, so that was a longer intro than usual, but there was a lot of really important things that needed to be said. And now I'm really pumped to introduce you to our Gemini season guest. Today we have my friend Sabrina Riccio. She's here. She's a revolutionary leader. She's a storyteller, golden age branding expert, and modern medicine woman. Sabrina has blended her passion for mysticism and personal and brand development to catalyze modern mystical entrepreneurs to activate their soulful, profitable, and aligned business from the inside out. So in this episode, Sabrina is speaking to us about her journey through childhood trauma, being struck by lightning, navigating her deep healing journeys, and her activism for plant medicine. So it's really juicy. She's a powerhouse. So I think you'll love it. And just a note, you know, Mercury's just gone retrograde. This is actually funny because Mercury rules Gemini, and this is the first time I've had a tech error when it comes to recording. So we recorded this episode a couple of weeks ago, and we, toward the end, just before we finished, maybe 10 minutes before, she stopped being able to hear me. And so just now I've been editing the episode, and I realized the last 10 minutes there was no me, there was only Sabrina. So we had to cut the episode a little bit short, but it's still jam-packed full of goodness, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think. On to the episode. All right, well, I am so excited that you're here with me today. How are you feeling? How are you feeling today?
Right now I'm in the middle of designing a whole new website and blessing up my brand. So I've been busting my ass for like weeks, and I'm very excited for what's in store and what's coming. Like, a lot of people have had a lot of like crazy thoughts or emotions or feels about the whole quarantine, but honestly, I think this has been one of the best things that could happen for humanity.
Absolutely. I agree. Totally. It's such an inward journey we're all going on.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it feels like the first time I can breathe in this human experience.
As you said that, I just took the deepest breath.
It's true though. Do you feel me though? Right?
Yeah, it's like, it's a pause. It's like we're being forced to pause and to reflect.
Well, there's no more of like go, go, go. It's a reset.
Yeah. And especially with your Gemini energy and the Virgo energy, which I want to get into obviously as we go on, but let's just take a breather for a second and come back to basics. I always like to ask my podcast guests at the very beginning, who is Sabrina?
Who is Sabrina? Sabrina's a force to be reckoned with. Kidding, but not. No, I am an intuitive brand strategist, a modern medicine priestess, and a revolutionist who's here to really anchor the golden era. And I think, you know, everything we've experienced up until now has led us to this. And my whole mission is to help cultivate that conscious tomorrow today, and really helping modern spiritual entrepreneurs like really show up and step up and to really tap into their gifts and continue doing that deep healing work that maybe many of us have either bypassed or ignored or haven't realized is a huge part of what's actually blocking us from the success that we want to experience in this lifetime.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah. Like there's so much power behind your voice always, and people who may follow you online. It's interesting when we see that reflected in your astrology chart, because you're such a powerhouse in the way you speak and command energy field around what the words that are coming and vibrating out of your mouth. It's like a very powerful tidal wave to be in your force field of energy. And we actually haven't even met in person.
No, but we talk all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So
if you guys can't see me, but like as Catherine was saying that, I just have like the biggest smile on my face.
It's so interesting how people come into your life, even like internet friends that become friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we met through a business course we took. Would you call it a business?
Yep.
Course? Yeah. Yep. And so it's just so interesting how you...
We instantly resonated with each other.
Yeah. Tell me your experience.
Well, I was just like, oh, this bitch is one of my bitches. Like this is a member of my soul squad for sure. And I think cause like you mentioned, you just did ayahuasca. And so I was like, okay, she knows what's up. I can roll with her.
Well, I remember you being on the video call and you had such a big like presence and energy. And I just love people who are just authentically out there in who they are and they're not hiding it for anybody. And like, that is so you. You're just like, here I am, take it or leave it. Like
this. That wasn't me. It was always there, but I lost that for a while. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that. Everyone's like, oh my God, your energy is so powerful. Or like you're all these really nice things. But truth is navigating through severe depression. And in 2012, after I got struck by lightning with my dog and was navigating through like a difficult LSD trip that had me face everything. I lost my voice for a long time. So I feel like, yes, that power is me. And I also feel it's what was like shut down for so long. That's why it's even more powerful because it was silenced for so long by fear and insecurity and doubt that was really running the show in my life for a long time. And then working with plant medicine and doing the deeper work really helped me reclaim my voice back.
So powerful. Like, so for you, you've got, like there's so many interesting parts of your story because, okay, you just dropped that you were struck by lightning, casual. Like who is struck like by lightning that we know? You're the only person I know that's been struck by lightning and lived to tell the tale and here you are. And what a like baptism by fire, like that whole process of recovery and emotional trauma, yeah. Whatever you've gone
through. That's why I'm writing my book right now.
I know. And it's nearly finished. She's nearly written her life story.
How do you? Yeah, it's my memoir.
Memoir.
My memoir, yes.
So, okay, we've got plant medicine, such a big part of what you advocate for. This whole being struck by lightning. You're a marketing whiz as well. That's part of your brand and business, is like helping people create this amazing like face to the world. Mm-hmm. And then of course you're like a political activist as well. Like you're here to make a change and to help people see a different perspective. It's huge.
Well, pretty much you should have just said my introduction because you just nailed.
it's just so multifaceted, which I love.
That's the Gemini in me for sure. And I think like, as there are so many facets of a diamond, you know, and a lot of like ascension, like astrology, like evolved astrology. Like one of my teachers, Stephanie Azaria, she talks about 5D astrology and how the Gemini is now the diamond. And to me, it's about the multifacets of what allows me really to radiate my radness.
Love that. Radiate your radness. So do you, because you're so Gemini to me, it's just like screaming Gemini, but like as you grew up as a child, when did astrology come into your life, and when did you resonate with the Gemini-ness of you?
Always. I think I've actually been passionate about being a Gemini my whole life. My grandmother, she was a Gemini too. And so like she always wore like a Gemini pendant. So when she transitioned, I got all of her Gemini pendants, like on her necklaces. I actually need to start wearing them because I've been wearing more layers on as like protection. But yeah, I bought like my first astrology book when I was like in high school, I think. And it was the only astrology book you'll ever need. That was like what I bought when I was like 14. But I've always been passionate about astrology, and a lot of what I do with my marketing is helping people come up with market strategies by infusing the cosmic energy. My whole thing is really helping people cosmically align their business and life, because if we can find that within ourselves and really start connecting the dots and seeing how the stars are aligned, we can see that they're always aligned in our favor. And even during those challenges that can be really a lot to navigate through, there's a divine purpose for it. And that's what I've seen with my own life, being struck by lightning, growing up with childhood depression, calling suicide hotlines, navigating through difficult, you know, psychedelic trips, being in abusive relationships. All of that has given me a deeper sense of compassion. And that compassion is what's needed in the world right now. And that's why we're all being tested right now. You're talking about like me being the political activist. I'm very passionate about the truth being exposed, like the truth with a capital T. Like, what is the actual truth? There's three sides of the story, right? And it's all based off everyone's own perception. We're seeing things based off of our own traumas, our own subconscious, our own unconscious. But if those subconscious and unconscious minds are infiltrated and attacked by these conditionings and programs, it's going to be hard to actually see what is the truth. And so for me, I just want the truth to be seen. And the truth that's being exposed right now is that this world has so much trauma that is unprocessed. And a lot of that comes from childhood. And that's why I think the blessing of this quarantine has been is, yeah, well, a lot of people have been struggling financially. What's more important is that people have spent more time with family. And yes, there's definitely issues of domestic abuse happening, which isn't fun. But there's also, like, for my instance, it's the first time in my entire life I was able to have quality time with my parents, because we owned a restaurant for 25 years. We're not reopening. We already weren't planning on it, but like this quarantine solidified it. But after navigating through a lot of trauma in my childhood, I never had my parents around unless I went to the restaurant, because they worked 16-hour days. So this quarantine, I've been spending a lot of time with my family because I never had that. And a huge part of what I see with business success is healing that inner child. So for me to be able to upgrade my business, I have to continue tightening those loose ends from my childhood and rewriting those stories, and to heal the codependency, heal the abandonment wounds, heal, you know, what are these core wounds that have been running the show and creating unconsciously, subconsciously, the reality I'm creating and seeing.
Yeah. Wow. It's so true. I think people are just operating and living their life so unconsciously. Like, we see it in our everyday lives. Like, you and I talk, but we're doing the work. There are so many people who just don't even realize that there's work to be done, which is why
they're afraid.
Like, well, yeah, they're afraid, or they don't know, or their subconscious is afraid, or their higher selves are afraid. Like, the higher selves are pulling them to the work. But I think that, you know, by the work that you do and being very vocal in how you're dealing with your own process. And so that could be through the way you speak online. It could be through your podcast, which is epic. It could also be through this book that you're writing. So, like, by telling the stories of your ups and downs, and there have been many, and like, that's obviously so penetrating, and in a way, it's like relatable, because people go through depression and these abandonment issues and inner child wounds. But also there's like this unrelatability in the sense of this lightning
strike that happened to you, which is just so out there.
Mm-hmm.
So can we just touch on that for a second? Can you just like walk us through that a little bit? Because that's just so epic.
Oh. I mean,
firstly, I want to preface it by like, I'm a bit of a like natural disaster and like I just love the wildness of weather and like I wanted to be a tornado chaser when I was young. So like I know this is just so crazy that's happened to you, but I find it so fascinating. And I don't know if you remember ages ago, we actually remember when I was looking at your chart and I did a transit back to the date that you got struck, and I think you had Uranus coming over something, or
I actually saved it like on my phone after you mentioned like, hey, we should look at your chart from when you got struck by lightning. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a really good idea. Yeah. My, let me see, as I have it here right now, it was, my Pisces and my Pisces, the moon was in, Aquarius at 29 degrees.
Yeah.
And, Neptune, was in Pisces at 1 degree.
Okay. I just remember something about Uranus as well, or it was just
Aquarius. And Uranus. Well. Yeah. Uranus. Let me see. Yeah. It was, my Uranus was in Aries.
Okay, I'd have to have another look because I can't remember, but I just remember us, we looked at it and we were like, wow, it was just so crazily aligned. Like there was a lot of electric energy happening to you in that moment. So tell me a bit about that. I mean, do you think that, was that 2012 that happened to you?
That was August 30th, 2012.
Yeah. So like what a year to happen. Such, you know, I've seen a lot lately, people are saying, you know, 2012, so many people woke up. And 2020 is like another 2012. We're having another.
Okay. So this is what what I got the download about 2020 and 2012 was that we finished, we finished 7 years, so like a quarter of Saturn. Saturn shifted from 2012 to 2020. So from the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, the summer solstice, that was the 7 year mark of the shift of the Mayan calendar in 2012. So this is the first like new Saturn cycle in that sense, 7 year cycle that we're experiencing, where we have all new DNA, we have upgraded cells. And I think a lot of our DNA has expanded to higher strands for those of us that have done the deeper work that have been dormant for a long time. So I think that's why the people that had their awakening in 2012 are actually helping lead people in 2020.
Yeah, I completely agree. Absolutely.
So yeah, but my lightning accident.
Let's go. Hit me with the lightning.
I was chasing the wrong thing. Let's say I was chasing a guy moving to San Diego with my dog, even though I knew I shouldn't have done it. I did it. And I was driving, and first I saw like the lightning rods hitting like on the sides, and then there was an 18-wheeler like semi truck jackknifed in the middle of the meridian, and then purple and white light came at my face, boom, sparks came out the hood, came out the trunk like a gunshot wound, and I had to cross over all four lanes with no power steering. The issue is that your auric field, when there's trauma, there's holes in your aura. As a Kundalini yoga teacher, this is like that and the lower triangle are the two things I'm most passionate about Kundalini. But I had so many holes in my auric field because I had such trauma. Not even from what I was experiencing that summer with a lot of, you know, post difficult trip and seeing what was actually going on with a lot of manipulation and mind control that was happening. It was more so like my inner child, you know, the year before, like I said, I was calling a suicide hotline. I was in really abusive relationships. I had a lot of repressed childhood trauma from the age of 3, which has been a lot of what's been coming up from this quarantine to heal. So if your auric field is extended outside your body and you have holes, that everyone's like, oh, well, you're grounded if you get struck in your car. No, you have an electric body. And if there's holes there, that energy is going straight into your nervous system. And that's what happened to me. So I couldn't show face on social media for like 3 years if like probably even longer, like 2016 was when I started showing face again. So after 4 years, it was challenging, like a lot of stuff came up. I mean, that's when I dove deep into my spiritual path. I was volunteering for Marianne Williamson, volunteering for Deepak Chopra, going to healers around the world. All this I'm writing in my book, and it's really funny because this is the part of my book I still have yet to write because it's so intense. And so for me, that's why I'm like, okay, I need to just get my website done. And like, I feel like after my birthday, the book's going to be finished. I would like to finish it in Gemini season. Even if I have to finish it in Cancer season, I'm cool with that too. I'm just trusting the surrender because it's a lot. This book I'm writing, like I have this vision that like when people hold my book, they're going to feel the energy pulsating from it. Like, it's going to be electric. You know what I mean? Because what I've had to experience has been so intense. And that's why I'm setting up all my structures now.
Yeah.
To allow that shock to the energy, that creative energy to really flow. So that lightning accident, it was just like the intensity of my sensitivity and my intuition. And it was hard to be around places. Definitely activated my role as a medicine priestess and my identity, where I've helped a lot of people navigate through difficult trips. I've helped people connect with their loved ones on the other side. Like, you know, there's a lot of these, the initiation of the shamans being struck by lightning. So there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, they call themselves shamans and stuff. Cool. I mean, I still like have weariness, even though my company is called Shamanessa Gadessa, but there's still like a deep reverence of respect for those shamans and a lot of these indigenous cultures. But I also can't ignore that the initiation of the shaman is being struck by lightning.
That is so amazing. And just, I want to know, like, so you get struck by lightning. What's the immediate next thing that happens? Like in that moment?
I cross over all four lanes with no power steering, slam on my brakes. And I jumped in the car with my parents and decided to move. But like, my energy was so sensitive and I didn't even know how to protect it then.
So it really affected your energy field.
Oh my God. Like
your nervous system. Like I'm just trying to think physically, like what happened, you know?
My nervous system got shot.
Yeah.
And even the other night, I was standing in my kitchen and I consumed a little bit of cannabis and I started feeling my nervous system like frying, like weary and like my whole body shaking. And before I would just repress it, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to allow this to leave my body. Mm-hmm. So I just stood there for like 10 minutes as my whole body vibrated mm-hmm. for whatever these, you know, traumas. I believe success is determined by the strength of your nervous system. And if there was still trauma from that lightning accident and the trauma that I experienced in my life still in my nervous system, it needed to go. So I just allowed myself, instead of bypassing it or like shutting it down, I just allowed myself to be present in it.
Amazing.
And, you know, just allowed it to shake throughout my whole body, come out through my right knee and, you know, just process. And that's the biggest thing is, so much of what we're seeing from this quarantine is a lot of people are in fight or flight.
Yeah.
And that's where I can be more compassionate because I've been in that state for a long time. And they're in that fight or flight because there's still underlying fear from childhood, their lower triangle, so lower three chakras between the ages of 0 and 22 that are still running the show that people have yet to process.
So thank you for sharing that. That is just so unbelievable to imagine being struck by lightning and the fact that it just like, I see it like a burst of light, like shifting your experience of life.
Oh, that was my like reset.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So if we just go back, you mentioned you were three. Do you think that, so can we talk about that a little bit? And where do you think this kind of connection to the divine or spirituality or knowing more about life kind of entered into your experience?
Well, when I was three, my cousin was two and she was diagnosed with leukemia. and she was dying from leukemia. So I don't know if you remember like the Little Mermaid cartoon series, not the movie, but the series. So they actually made Gabriella into a mermaid, and she was the first deaf mermaid. And a lot of people think she was a Latina little girl, but she's Italian. And because every day when she was like getting chemo, she would just watch, we would just watch the Little Mermaid in her hospital bed all the time. So at that young age, just seeing my family in a lot of prayer. And before that, my cousin, who's 10 years older than me, her brother, he was born with his whole like intestines and inner organs out, like his body never sealed. So by the time he was 16, he had 40 surgeries. So just growing up and having to, you know, go to the hospital for his surgeries. And he was like, when I was little, he had a trach in his throat, like just seeing a lot of really intense things at a young age, you know, and a lot of that, like, didn't feel safe, you know, like this place is crazy. If you're that young, it's like, this is a crazy place. Like, how can I trust this place? Right. And so, yeah, just navigating through that, I think, seeing it at that young age. And I just remember, like, even when I was in Catholic school, like when I graduated Catholic school or whatever, the moms like gave some of the kids gifts or whatever. And I got all these gifts about like God and spirituality. And I was like, why did I get this? And everyone else got all this cool stuff. So I think at a young age, a lot of my friends' parents saw like my gift, even though I wasn't aware of it, you know, and couldn't really see it. And also try to like revolt against it because it was what I was always around and trying to be rebellious with that. Especially because there was so much dogma around it that I really didn't resonate with, but also was like really ashamed of or like fearful of growing up in the church. And, you know, after my cousin passed away and, you know, her brother was hit by a car. My cousin, he was hit by a car when my aunt was 9 months pregnant. And it was just like shit after shit after shit. And then just, it goes on and on. That's why I'm writing a book about it, because the amount of trauma, I was diagnosed with PTSD and ADHD for prolonged depression. When I was in college, because it was so much. So all of that was stored in my nervous system, which was why at 23, I needed to be struck by lightning, because that was not the life that God had intended for me for the rest of my life. So I had to have that reset to do the deeper work to actually regenerate a whole new cellular structure being.
Yeah. It's really interesting when we look at your chart. I actually have your chart up. Do you mind if I just mention?
Yeah, bring it on. Chart?
I just think it's really interesting, and I think I've spoken to you about this before, and all of the family and the death and the sickness and, you know, the deep hardship that you've had to witness as a child. You've got Pluto sitting on your IC on the cusp of the fourth house of home and family. And it's really interesting because Pluto is really about, you know, unearthing the depths of our subconscious and the depths of like pain and what's lying beneath, like the muck beneath the surface. And it's sitting there to be like, this lifetime, you're going to have to deal with this when it comes to your home and family, and also like figuring out how you communicate your feelings around that, because it's actually like right on the line. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of between the third and the fourth. And I think it's so fascinating that you're writing a book, because the third house is all about how we communicate. And so you're writing a book, and it's really this process of recovery and rejuvenation and putting out there your process to heal those deep wounds that have been that you've had to experience. So I think you're living it out really well and beautifully. And what you've had to endure is just so intense. And there's a reason, like, you are here to help people. And another thing with your chart, which is really, really cool. So I look at your chart and you have a packed 11th house. You've got four things in the 11th right now. So if you know Sabrina, she knows everybody. She's connected. She knows a lot of people. She's like, my friend here, this friend. So the 11th house, we've got like networks, friends, acquaintances, like groups of people. yeah, your sun's there. That's how you, your sun, you've got Venus, Chiron, Jupiter. It's all happening. It's like, it's, you are a connector person. And I know you feel like that. I know, you know, you are, it's just one of your superpowers, right? You've got these.
It's my favorite. I love cultivating community in a way of like bringing different people together. And when I can see other people's gifts and being like, yo, you two together, or this group and this group together, will be a powerhouse of like deep revolutionary change. Like, we need to make this happen. You know, that's like what fuels me really, is that connection and community.
And you also have, which I tell you all the time, is you have sun conjunct Jupiter, exactly. And I tell you, that is the Kanye West aspect. That is what Kanye has. So it is like, I am here, people, like, let it be known.
Yeah. And that was what I was scared of too, after I got struck by lightning, because I saw like how powerful my energy was. And that's why I hid for a long time, because my nervous system couldn't even sustain the amount of power my energy was.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
I also think people that have that, if you're not playing out that aspect and you're hiding it, it's, you know, there's this fear of being, like in Australia, we have this tall poppy syndrome, where if you grow above the rest of the poppies, it's like they're going to cut you down. Like, we have this concept. Mm-hmm. It's less like that in America. Like, I feel like I can say that having lived in America, but we have it really strongly here.
But that right there was a huge thing too, where I realized the people I was surrounding myself with at that time were not the right people.
Mm.
Because and that's been my challenge living in Joshua Tree too, is like, I don't feel, I don't want to say like the comparison, but it's really hard to feel a reciprocity of like give and receive in terms of like support or energy or just, you know, our radiance. But I know I had to come back to Joshua Tree to finish the last of the inner child like healing. I did my Saturn return here, because it was relatively close to like the house where I grew up. And now that, you know, to me, I feel like blessing up my business and my branding, writing this book and like restructuring everything, that's the door open where I can continue. And that's the blessing about social media, is that I have people from all over the world that of course we're all equals, but I see it in a way of like, we're equally can show up for each other, and we all have our own different strengths, that together, when we bring our strengths together, we can bring something powerful. And there's an equal reciprocity of like, if someone's like tired, the other one knows how to support, or vice versa. You know what I mean? There's just an equal level of support that I didn't have for a long time too. And that's what kept me playing small.
So you moved to Joshua Tree and you were kind of going within and dealing with your process and really like
dealing.
Yeah, dealing, understanding yourself, you know.
I just feel like I've been on quarantine for 3 years. So that's why I'm like, because it's so isolating here. And I mean, the nature is great, and I needed that for my nervous system to like kind of slow down. But now, to like bless up and take my business and life to the next level, I need more action.
What's your connection to the desert? Do you feel, what's the energy there? I've never been to Joshua Tree personally, but do you feel connected to it? Is there a special medicine you've received from being in that area? I know you're kind of ready to spiral.
I grew up
out.
Here.
Yeah.
I grew up in the desert. So, I mean, there's a reason. I think the only connection I really have to the desert is family. You know, because all my family's here. Well, I also have family in San Diego. And when I was a kid, like the happier moments of my childhood were in San Diego. Living in the desert has been challenging my whole life. Mm. But I need to face that and rewrite that. I can't allow that to have power over me, which is why I know why I'm still here. So I even feel like before I can move back to San Diego, I need to make peace with this place.
And that is so reflective of so many people. I know definitely in my personal experience, I'm one to just to flee and move on and move somewhere else and to keep like just to get fresh energy. And I think I look back on my life and I'm like, oh, I would move to New York and then I'd like go traveling over here and then I'd move here and there just around, because it's like I wanted that fresh energy, that feeling of freshness and newness. But in essence, I was just avoiding my own stuff that was inside. And so like, that's really what you're saying as well. It's kind of like that last little bit of just tying up the loose ends and feeling whole where you are and being able to accept the now moment.
Yeah, because I still want to be able to come back, and I bought a house here. So it's, I'm going back and forth of like Airbnb-ing it or just keeping it open to like my posse and like my crew, because my energy is so sensitive that I really need to be discerning on who I bring into my space. Because this is a very sacred space. My friend calls my house the spa. But I want to be able to come back and still have that reset, because there is something magical. Because what Joshua Tree has really helped me is have a deeper connection with the stars.
Yes.
That's what I realized the last psilocybin journey I went on. I was like, you know what? Like, I moved to Joshua Tree to, one, heal my inner child, my lower triangle, to navigate through my Saturn return. Two, dive deeper into the plant medicine journey. I've done my ayahuasca and my peyote ceremonies here, and I've worked a lot with psilocybin out here. Three, I can see the stars so clearly, and my friend, he builds telescopes. So I've seen the moon and like craters in the moon with this telescope. I've seen Saturn. I've seen Mercury. I've seen crazy constellations. Like, I've seen planets that I would have never probably been able to have that experience before. So again, there's no accident why we endure what we endure. And it's part of the I call it like the yellow brick road to like get to the Wizard of Oz, right? And there's no accident the path that you're on. And we just have to continue to surrender and to understand that it's all unfolding for our highest good, so that we can, again, be compassionate, so that we can serve, and that so we can have that moment of reflection on how, you know, we can be kinder to ourselves and really respect and honor ourselves deeper.
I know you're such an advocate for plant medicines, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit about, you know, with you, because I think a lot of people are really scared of going and using them and the medicine that they provide. So do you want to just tell me a little bit about how that kind of started for you, the plant medicine journey, and then maybe like some, I know you, just maybe some really huge, beautiful reflections that have been shown to you about, yeah, the world.
Yeah. So, like I said, in 2011, I called a suicide hotline, and at the time I was still like working with cannabis. But I was abusing cannabis. I wasn't using it consciously. I was using it to numb out. And I think that can happen with a lot of these plant medicines or psychedelics, whatever. Like, people abuse them, and that's what's given it such a bad rap. But we can't ignore the truth and the studies of how it's helping people with PTSD, how it's helping people with depression, you know? And those are the things that I like to bring more of my energy to, while also not bypassing the fact that there is still a lot of abuse going around. So for me, I started working with cannabis when I was in like my high school. When I was in college, I didn't touch MDMA until my senior year. And that was the first time I really felt like I connected with God. It was the first time I actually like felt God. And that was crazy. And so of course I wanted more. But I abused it. I had zero serotonin left in my brain at the time. I was a music journalist. I was interviewing DJs from all over the world, like living every 22, 23 year old dream of going to festivals and interviewing the DJs and all that. But I created that myself. Like, you know, I'm following my passion. I'm going to do this. And I was really good at marketing, and let me do this. So I had one of the top house music blogs that I was interviewing big DJs. And, yeah, so I was working with MDMA, but then when I had that difficult LSD trip, I got in a fight and I ate it without like intention. And I think that's the biggest thing people are scared is there's not enough education about set and setting. Because going into like big spaces like festivals, I've been going to sober for like 5 years now. I've been going to festivals sober just because there's a lot to navigate through, especially as an empath being so sensitive. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of like manipulation and a lot of other people's shit, and they have a lot of their own darkness that can tack on when in those spaces, if you don't know how to protect your energy properly. So now if I do work with plant medicines, I microdose, meaning I take very, very, very little because I don't need a lot. I don't need to go over the edge. I'm not going to trip. Like, that's not my intention for working with these medicines. My intention is to heal. And as someone, like I said, who's had prolonged depression, medicines like psilocybin or magic mushrooms, have just taking a little bit has been what's helped me really rebalance my neurons and my brain and to heal and to cry and to purge. Ayahuasca has been a medicine that it's not as powerful for me as peyote was. So the grandmother ayahuasca, I did it twice, but I also think I did it with the wrong people. And actually when the medicine told me the first time I did it, the medicine said strike one. And then the second time I did it, she said strike two. Wow. Because I think the people that I was doing it with were not the right people. But what I did see was like, it was an opportunity. The last time I did, ayahuasca was 2 days after my grandmother's sister passed away and she was the witch of the family. And the medicine told me, you have too much work to do to be in a deep grieving process like you have been your whole life. So you're going to do all the grieving now. So for 45 minutes, I just bawled and just allowed that grieving process. And I felt my beloved hold me. And I felt my dog, Bud, at my feet. And I just told like my partner, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because I've been split from my twin for a long time. And I felt him there. But with peyote, it was just a lot more of that, like, ancestral healing, and to really, you know, be in that space. So to me, psilocybin has been, you know, such the great teacher for me, just a really healing, like I say, take very little. And I usually mix it with like ashwagandha or, you know, just more like reishi mushrooms. Like I don't take a lot, even with cannabis. If I smoke cannabis now, I mix it with flowers, as in rose and lavender and chamomile. I don't need a lot anymore. And I think that's what we need to understand. We don't need a lot. Otherwise you're giving away your power to something outside of you.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that. Cause a lot of people get very like wary and afraid and they've heard so.
And you're not ready for it, or you maybe are, but there's something that you're going to face that you have to see, but it's again, that set and setting, making sure you're with the right people around you, people that will support you,
yeah,
and people that will abandon you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, you know, I did 4 ceremonies of ayahuasca in a row, which was really powerful, but I was at a place that was so protective and nurturing, and it was just, I had been wanting to do ayahuasca for a really long time, like maybe 10 years. I felt the plant calling me, but I never felt like that's the place I want to go. You know, I didn't want to go trek in some muddy jungle and feel unsafe. It was really important for me to be feeling safe. Mm-hmm. And such a powerful experience. You know about that. I'm sure I've spoken.
That's the other thing I just want to say real fast too, because if you don't feel safe, you can't go as deep.
Absolutely.
Because there's like a wall that you put up, and that's what I had. I definitely had that wall put up of like, oh, I don't feel comfortable, or who am I, like, am I actually going to be supported by these people if I need that support? Because that was a huge wound that I've navigated through my whole life, is just not feeling accepted.
Mm. Yeah.
So I didn't. And the first time I ever purged, I've never purged with ayahuasca. I never purged with peyote, but I purged doing hape, which is like a tobacco snuff that you do that like decalcifies the pineal gland. I did hape at my friend's house like 3 weeks ago, and my dad was there. It's the first time I've ever like done like anything like that in front of my dad. And I threw up 4 times, like purged everything. It was the land that I did peyote at. So I think it was still like the medicine was still there, and it was just like waiting for me to be in that right moment. But I purged like so much. And I could tell the biggest thing I was purging with my dad being there was like the last of like the family wounds that weren't mine, that have been stuck in my DNA and in my energy. And I just purged it all out. And it was crazy because I've done hape hundreds of times, but this time with my dad there, I purged and it was nuts. So that's the thing. You don't know what's going to come from the experience, but you'll always get what you need or what you really allow yourself to surrender to is what is the bigger truth.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is so epic that you got to do it with your dad. Like, who gets to say that they've done plant medicine with their dad? That's so amazing. And yeah, that
I'm definitely not ready to do like peyote or like ayahuasca with my dad, but the fact that I like did a hape ceremony with my dad, that was like big enough.
I mean, start small. I did hape like before I took the ayahuasca each night. And I think I purged on the third night. So the first two nights with ayahuasca, I didn't purge at all. And then the third night, was a nightmare. Like, people think, sometimes I think to myself, at the depths of the pain in that ayahuasca journey, and I drank twice in one night each night. So it's just like you go so deep. It's to the depths of your soul, and it's not for the faint hearted. So I would definitely say for anyone listening, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not the path for everybody to take. It's important
to make sure you do it at the right places, because a lot of these places are also, like in a lot of these indigenous countries and, you know, places in Peru and stuff, a lot of people, they're seeing how people are hungry and they're spending money. And so there's been a lot of cases of like people being raped under the medicine and things like that. So it's really important, again, setting is everything. And to really do your research.
And also one of the lessons for me that ayahuasca taught me was that intention is everything. I learned deeply that intention in what I do, how I think, the way I live my life is with intention. I did all of that plant medicine work at the end of 2018 and life has just changed. And I think also with plant medicine, we need to allow it to weave its way after it's done the work. You know, it's still integration. It's been playing out for 18 months for me and I still see it, you know, unfolding. So yeah, it's just so powerful, and just allow the integration process, allow yourself to be moved by it and for the lessons to keep coming. Super powerful.
And I think that's the thing that, again, that people aren't, they don't talk about enough, is the importance of the integration.
Huge.
It's like in yoga, like, you know, like the same thing, like I teach Kundalini yoga, you're doing this meditation for 11 minutes and then you instantly like move around. But that integration is the feminine of receptivity. So I think if people that have a hard time integrating, those are people that are really out of touch with their feminine essence.
Yeah. I agree. So I just want to touch on another thing before we go, and it's something that you and I are both passionate about, and it is this kind of false light. You speak a lot about the false light. So I just want to touch slightly on that a little bit, especially in this space where people are waking up, and which is amazing. And I see it often. They are talking on their socials, and everybody's on their own journey and at their own stage. And so it's just an interesting time when people are waking up and sharing, which is perfect. But when you're on your own journey, sometimes you can get swept away in people's messaging. Yep. And so I think it's so important for just to remember for people listening that you are your own guru. This is all about, you know, empowering your own self. Yes, we can look to other people for inspiration or to learn and like as teachers, but at the end of the day, like you were saying about, you know, you work with your clients and looking at their cosmic blueprint and how that needs to play out in their life purpose, and everyone's different. So I'm very passionate about people just being them, because we can get swept away in kind of following the lead of others.
Well, that's the insecurity running the show, right? That's so, to me, when there's that happening, what trauma did you have between the ages of 16 and 22 that have had to be processed? Because that's when the solar plexus is being formed and developed, and that's our power center. For me, and it's so funny because I was just writing about this all on my About Me page on my new website. But for me, I had zero confidence, because I had, between the ages of 16 and 22, is like the deepest part of my depression. So when the time came for me to embark on the spiritual path, I was absorbing everything and anything, fell for the love and light, literally like ending emails, love and light, Sabrina, like fell deep into the shit, right? And I was like a target for that false light, right? The infiltration to come through. One, I didn't have the confidence. Two, I still had a lot of repressed trauma from 0 to 6, 0 to 7, when the subconscious root chakra is being formed. And to me, I feel like a lot of these teachings have been false. And it's hard because like teachings like A Course in Miracles that I was so devoted to was written by people that worked with the CIA. Like these are like mind control situate like books and teachings that I fell deep into that also kept me in loops. And so I needed to learn to alchemize the loop, because clearly I just feel like after like 2000, when did I get my house? 2018. I feel like, no, 2017, from that big eclipse that happened, I feel like we got stuck on a timeline loop where like people weren't progressing. We're like, we're doing the work. What is going on? And I think that's when a lot of more of the spiritual teachings were being exposed of what's been infiltrated or what's even outdated, because we're in the Aquarian age. And a lot of those systems, they served their purpose, but now the energy is different. And it's constantly evolving. And the more and more people wake up, there's going to be more and more truth being exposed.
Absolutely. You're so on point. And I always love your take on all these things. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being with us. How can people follow along? What have you got coming up? Like, let everybody know what's happening with you.
Yes. So right now, like I said, I'm writing my book, but June 23rd, I am launching my signature spiritual business development mastermind course I call Thrive. And it's something I've worked on, like literally my heart and soul, everything I know about marketing, everything I know about branding, marketing and brand development, personal development, spiritual teachings, Kundalini yoga, like astrology, like everything. It's literally a jam-packed, it's the only business course you'll ever need, like the business development course you'll ever need. So if you're someone who has a business idea and you're ready to execute it, or if maybe you've been like a coach for a year or two, but you're ready to actually like take it up and you're done having things be a hobby, but you're ready to really step into like, this is my business and this is the empire I'm building. Thrive was really designed with you in mind. So I'm launching that. And if you share with me in the application that you listen to this episode, I'm going to be giving not one, but two bonus one-on-one calls valued at $600, where we can start coming up with your market strategy and just whatever else is coming up, because we're doing a lot of the deep inner work, building the foundation with that really big business development. And then how do we start sharing that by like tapping into what is your offering? How do you work with the social media and so on and so forth? So again, we're starting June 23rd for that. You can check out experience.sabrinariccio.com/thrive for that. You can follow me on Instagram at Sabrina Riccio. And my podcast, the Sovereign Society podcast, has been on hiatus during this quarantine, but it's coming back in July. So I've been doing podcasting before podcasting was trendy. And so I've been doing it for 4 years. And I'm very on top of like trends before they come. I'm very good at seeing that. My marketing professor would call me the marketing machine in college. And I definitely take that and I honor that and run with that. And I'm really excited to see how, especially the health and wellness industry is going to evolve this year. Especially after this whole quarantine coronavirus thing. So I just really want to help people unleash their medicine with the world.
Thank you so much for being here, love. I've enjoyed it so much.
Thank you, sis, for having me. I love you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can join the party on Insta at Soul in the City Podcast, or check out my offerings at katherinegillies.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to hit subscribe and share the love by sending the episode on to any friends or family who might enjoy it. You're the best.